welcome to the Fairburn City Council, the workshop portion of the meeting. Jennifer, our clerk, would you call the meeting to order, please? I've just called the meeting to order. Would you call the roll call?
Yes, ma'am. Mayor Elizabeth Parker.
Present.
Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
Councilwoman Hattie Davis Jones.
Present.
Councilman Pat Fallon.
Present.
Councilman Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Mayor Oliver present, and we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Our first agenda item is a presentation. Karen is not here. Yes, she is. Okay, by Mid-South Benefits, and so Karen, you coming up, Ms. Larkin, and also Mr. Jack Graham.
Yes.
Both of you all going to the presentation?
I'm going to do the presentation. If it's okay, you can just sit here and, you know, add to the conversation, or would you rather him up there as well?
No, you can come up.
Okay.
Yeah, you can come on up.
You need to start.
Okay.
You ready for me?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Do you have, I think you should have in your packet, if you want to follow along, there's several pages on your letterhead that were given to you, and then a presentation that looks like this. They didn't have the, that's okay, I can go through it with you if you don't have, you just have this, right, with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But, you know, I'll answer any questions, but, so I'll just get started and say that while none of us like to see our healthcare costs go up, the reality is they are going up, and they're continuing to go up like 11%. Just the cost of healthcare is going up about 11% per year. Our job is to mitigate your increase and negotiate with the insurance company, and I can assure you we take that very seriously. So with that, the original United Healthcare medical renewal for your plan that you had, there's a couple changes on your plan, but I'll go over those. The original increase that United Healthcare came out of the box with was 34.47% increase, but immediately we got it down to 29.5%. We sit down and go through the renewal calculations and look at all the numbers that they put together, and it's math, and we meet with the underwriters, and we actually met with them two or three times after that and ended up with a final increase of 21%. Your claims this year have gone up about 20% more than they were last year. Your claims were about 112%, almost 113% of your premium. So if you took the premium you paid from April 1st of last year, and they end the renewal in October, and you take the premium paid divided by the claims, you're at 113%. I can't, because of HIPAA, go into all the medical conditions, but you've had some unusual medical conditions this year, and it's our recommendation, it was our opinion, that it would be best not to go to the market. We don't believe in going to the market just to get the other insurance companies to try to beat down the incumbent, because number one, it's not good for the city. You should go to market when you're seriously considering making the change, and if we believe that the insurance company that you're with now is not giving a fair price, that's when we go to the market, and we've done that, and we have moved business. But considering the losses that you have, we believe that 21% is extremely competitive in this marketplace. And is there any questions? I mean, I got several things I can discuss with you, but I didn't know if there was any specific questions regarding that. With the increase of 21%, the city contributes 90% for the employee only, and an additional 60% for the family. And we're proposing that the city continue with that same contribution strategy, and just with the increase. And I'll go over what the increase for the employees' deductions are. But the city portion alone, just for the increase, will be for the medical increase, $227,952. So that'll be between April 1st through March 31st next year. So we're asking for a total dollar of $227,952. You also have what they call an HRA, a health reimbursement arrangement, where the city pays the deductible for the employees. And the estimate last year, we've always budgeted for we've budgeted for $200,000. But it came in at $109,000. So it came in about 27% of what we expected. $200,000 is a little high. We can talk to Donna afterwards and lower that budget to about probably 150, because you've consistently been about 27-28%, which is the industry standard when you're funding someone's deductible. Okay, so we propose that you continue to fund the deductible. You also have an exposure under the medical for your opt-out incentive. So for those employees that are eligible for the benefit plan and choose to stay on their spouse's plan or a qualified plan like TRICARE program, the city will reimburse that employee $200 per month. And we have 18 participants in that now, which is much better than having them on the plan from a cost standpoint. And that is running at $43,200. So that's not gonna change unless you have a change in membership. So if you add the $43,200 to the $227,952 and increase your budget to 32% instead of 27%, your total cost would be $254,709. But $254,709 should come in a little bit less, because we don't expect you to reach the 32% on the HRA, but you could. And, you know, just to go back to kind of give you another perspective on the increase of 21%, if your claims were running at 75% to premium, you would not have an increase.
Because
if your claims were running about 75%, if you took your claims, divided it by the premium, and it was running about 75%, I would be here telling you don't have an increase.
Trend.
You would just have, you could have trend.
Trend,
right.
Is about 11 or 12%.
Right, yeah. But if you add your retention, the cost, the administrative cost that the insurance company does, you know, it costs them to do business, and you add the trend of 11%, and the health insurance company tax is 3.23%, which was not in your plan last year. There was a moratorium for 1 year that the government took away. They didn't have the health insurance company tax last year, but it came back for this coming plan year. So they've added another 3% that just goes off. Even though UnitedHealthcare wants 21%, 3% of that is going to the government for the health insurance company tax that all fully insured plans get taxed in the U.S. on that, to pay for the subsidies on the exchanges and those types of things. So that's back. So if you add all that together, that's about 25%, and then if you add that 25% to your current loss ratio, this is why the insurance company came out with 30-something percent up front. So the insurance companies are not going to lose money. But we were able to find some negotiating, we have a good relationship with UnitedHealthcare, and we said, you know, we believe it was fair, so we chose not to go to the market.
They wanted, if I could add, they wanted more of an increase from a dollar perspective, but they understand that these medical conditions that we had this year were an aberration, and they won't be a recurring regular, and they want to keep the city of Fairmont as a customer, so they didn't want to give you an increase that was untenable to make you move to somebody else and blow up your budget. So they came back, and then we negotiated further with them to try to mitigate this. And what we're trying to do is have a sustainable plan where people don't have to change doctors, don't have to change pharmacies.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just to enlighten you about what's going on in the marketplace, all the insurance companies are now tightening up on their prescription drug list. There's fewer choices on brand drugs. They're always going to allow someone to take a brand drug. But now you have to go through hoops to get to prove, you gotta get your doctor, a good doctor, that knows how to sell why you can't take a generic. I mean, it is a lot of work. Just, that's where they're cutting costs is on the pharmacy now. And that would, we're seeing that a lot. We're seeing less noise from our clients that are with United Healthcare. I don't know if y'all read in the paper, you know how bad it was last year with United Healthcare in Piedmont? Mm-hmm. We're going through the same thing right now with Blue Cross. Mm. They're negotiating with Piedmont, and they said if they can't come to an agreement by April 1st, it'll be out of network. Mm-hmm. So we came close to moving to Blue Cross last year. The plan changes are minimal. Currently, you have your members can seek physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, all kinds of outpatient therapy, and the limit is 20 visits per year currently, which has always been kind of standard 20 visits. Now it's 37 visits, hearing aid benefits went from 20 that the insurance company would have reimbursed hearing aids up to $2,500 per year every 3 years. Now it's being increased to $3,000 per year. So just a little bit of an increase for those people that are wearing hearing aids because the cost of hearing aids are going up. One negative is the copay with your outpatient mental health is currently $30. The cost of mental health providers and the negotiations that the insurance companies are able to get from these mental health providers are not as strong as they used to be, so they bumped up the copay to $60 for mental health. And these are just filed with the state, and you know, if we could get that back to 30, we would have done that.
Right.
Okay. But everything else stays the same. We're seeing Aetna just came out with their new plan, and they're saying that if someone goes to the urgent care and it's not truly an urgent care, they won't pay the claim. So we're seeing a lot of these insurance companies, you know, start cost shifting more and more when it comes to things like that.
Hmm. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Just carried my wife to a specialist, mm-hmm. Orthopedic surgeon, and. It was that when we checked out, it was $183. And according to our card, it was showing $90 is what it costs for a specialist. And it is in-house type thing. So they were saying something about that we had to satisfy a certain amount of money out of our pocket. So is that correct?
I'd have to, you know, we could talk afterwards and I could get a copy of the EOB, but when you went to that, what kind of specialist did you say?
Orthopedic surgeon.
Orthopedic surgeon. Did you have any kind of surgical work done, or did you just go see and have consultation?
Well, she had a shot given to her.
A shot given to her?
In her hip, yeah.
They may have considered that more than just an office visit. So if you had just gone in and the doctor had said that she needs a shot, then it would have been $90.
Well, she had been referred from her regular
yeah,
doctor.
Yeah, right. Well, you normally do get referred from. But,
right.
But, you know, that's what, again, you know, anytime any of your employees or members have any kind of claim issues, you always, you know, to call us and we'll
right.
go in and check to find out to see what happened and explain
okay.
it to you, because it's all very confusing and we'd
right.
rather you understand why they did that.
Yeah.
Now, you do know that you have the choice to find an orthopedic surgeon that's in network, that's in the designated network, that would be a $60 copay versus a $90 copay.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so we'll... during our open enrollment meetings, we always kind of re-educate everybody as to the advance, you know, where to go to get the, you know, lace out of your pocket. So we'll do that at open enrollment again.
Okay. Okay. Is there a
Is there
a brochure that we can get to where we can read all of this stuff for ourselves?
Yes.
Is it online?
We have one, but we'll get you one.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a very short version of one.
Okay.
And we'll go through that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'll do some more educational campaigns on that subject and send out one-page flyers during the year just to keep people, you know, informed of because the nuances in these plans.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Question. Were there any changes in the, I noticed that there were no renewal increase for the vision plan nor the dental plan. Were there any changes in those plans?
No changes.
Plans remain the same?
Correct. Yes. Which is good usually because, again, our experience is that dental typically goes up quite a bit each year. But last year you had a fairly big increase because they had a block increase.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they needed. So now they're able to give you no increase.
Okay, Ms. Portis-Jones has a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
A few more than that. But when I read the material, I thought, given the environment that we're in, that 21% actually was pretty good, mm-hmm. given the original proposed increase. And so I was happy to see that. Wanted to ask, does UnitedHealthcare provide case management mm-hmm. to our employees? And they also evaluate the drug usage and the types of drugs and the prescribing by the doctors, just to ensure that there's no over-prescribing or there are no conflicts with the drugs. So that is happening?
Definitely, yes,
okay.
Ma'am. They are. As soon as they see that there's a potential for a large claim that will go on, they will assign a case manager to work with the member and the provider to help them seek the best care and just to be an advocate for the member. We see that quite a bit. And the pharmacy, I will say, after the end of this plan year, probably a couple months after, we will get a nice big utilization package that we'll receive from UnitedHealthcare that will talk about your pharmacy usage, inpatient usage, emergency care, and we can sit down with Donna and Linda and go through, you know, where we might want to look at educating people on. And I do know your pharmacy usage is lower than the norm,
mm-hmm.
which is good, but to answer your question, they do get involved to make sure, and they're watching all that from the insurance companies.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So a question regarding clarification. When you talked about the 32% on HRA,
right.
So that's what you've budgeted for, but you don't expect us to use that amount? Did I understand that correctly?
Sort of. The city has budgeted for since we've been with UnitedHealthcare, we believe the city has really budgeted a little bit higher than they should have. You've been budgeting $200,000. And that stems from the very odd plan we had when we were with Coventry. Some of you remember that some of the prescriptions were part of the deductible, so we bumped that up to 46% expected. So you've been budgeting 46%. We think that the city would be safe to budget 32%, or even if you want to round it up to 35%, you can budget 150. I think 200 is what you have been budgeting, according to what the information that we were given.
Okay. All right. You talked a little bit about some of the things that we are doing and some of the negotiations that you had with UnitedHealthcare to get us down to 21%. I'm asking, what is it that we're doing right or that we should continue to do so that we maintain or even increase that negotiating leverage?
That's a good question. You know, everybody talks about wellness. And, you know, and some of our clients think that as soon as they put in a wellness program, it's just going to reduce your cost of your claims. But what it does, you're never going to be able to reduce non-lifestyle claims. You're just going to have, and most of these claims this year were non-lifestyle related claims, and you can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is help mitigate those claims by helping your employees and their families get healthier and give them all the tools. So that could help mitigate your future increases, because mm-hmm. then you'd have non-lifestyle claims plus your lifestyle claims combined together, would even be worse. So that's really the best way to help mitigate claims, is to keep on track with your wellness program. Other than that, you know, I mean, someone, unexpected situations come up, and there's really not a lot you can do other than just working on your wellness programs.
So is there, are there additional things that we can do in that regard?
In wellness?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, you're doing everything right now.
Okay.
You've got, I think Hong is just mm-hmm. really taken off mm-hmm. and has really, you do have a $5,000 wellness fund with this, and that you could use. I think you have some money left over for this year, and then you'll have another $5,000 wellness fund going forward. We had talked about in the past the city participating in the Atlanta Healthiest Employer Contest, and the more, and we are going to prepare to enter that contest for the next year. We're going to go ahead and prepare this year, fill out all the paperwork. So they have a big, just a couple of weeks ago, they had it at Georgia Aquarium, and they had a big presentation. And one of our clients has won it several years in a row, and they came in third this year, but we'd like to slip y'all in ahead of them. I mean, that's how I would do it. And knowing that you are actively engaged in wellness does go a long way with our negotiating with the insurance companies. So they've all bought into the wellness. So when we talk to UnitedHealthcare, we go back to them. That last 21%, we honed in on that. Just said this, they're not just saying they're doing a wellness program. They're doing lunch and learns every month, and they're doing, you know, community service work, getting people to feel good about themselves. So, yes.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, I might want to add the fact that the city has agreed with us to, loyalty is a two-way street, and being loyal to UnitedHealthcare means that they don't want to look at your rate increase as more of a long-term relationship and a long-term trend. Claims may go up and down and fluctuate, but it's long-term. They want to make a little profit, of course, obviously. They paid out more in this year than they've taken in, so they lost money, but they didn't want to sever the relationship because they want a long-term client. And they've had a study we heard about today that their most profitable accounts are the ones that have been within 7 years or longer because of long-term relationships. So your willingness to let us negotiate with them and to take marketing, going to the marketplace off the table, gives us the leverage to get that rate increase down. So we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Does any other council members have any other questions? No questions? We're going to leave this on the agenda
sure.
for a full vote, the regular agenda. Okay.
Mayor, just one question.
Yes.
Do we have the percentage of employees that's participating in the wellness program?
I don't have that offhand, but I can certainly get it to you tomorrow. I can check with our wellness manager. But I think you have a pretty good percentage, but that's a great question. One other thing is the flexible spending account. There's no additional change. It's just that you can increase your maximum a little bit this year.
Okay.
Good to know.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much. The next agenda item for discussion in the workshop is our ethics audits. Mr. Attorney Randy Turner has given, did you all get a copy? Oh, he has it.
I have one here.
He's getting ready to give you a copy of the current code of ethics for the city of Fairburn. as you all know, the Code of Ethics for the City of Fairburn is actually our Bible. It's what we are actually supposed to abide by as elected officials. Mr. Turner has discovered something in our Code of Ordinances that he wants to bring forward.
I did, you'll see you have a copy of the ordinance. I just pulled it off from the Union Code, and I discovered also there might be some lines that were left off of the top of all these sheets, and apologize for Union Code is notorious for not very friendly, it's not very friendly printing format, but I brought this in. I saw that there was going to be a discussion. I know that this came up last meeting in connection with the fact that we are preparing rules of procedure. And we had intended to have a document here for you tonight to consider, but didn't quite come together. The mayor and I discussed it, and we're going to do some further work, further discussion on it. But I brought this in. Read it if there are any questions you want to get into at this point. I think that when we get to the point of adopting comprehensive set of rules and procedures for the meetings of this body, we will need to go in and modify a couple of provisions that are in our code section right now, and one or two of them are in the Code of Ethics. For example, the rule on abstention. I think that came up last time, just to sum that up a little bit. You know, Robert's Rules of Order tells us you can't make a member vote. Okay, you can't. You're always free to not vote on an item in front of you. Abstention, though, is a special reason. I mean, you abstain from voting is because you have a reason you can't vote. And that abstention extends not only to voting, but extends to participating in debate and discussion of an item that's in front of you. So there's an interest that you have in an item. You have to abstain. And you can't just simply say, I'm not going to vote. You're required under our Code of Ethics to make a disclosure of the reason that you're not going to participate in debate or discussion. The mayor and I were discussing this earlier today. There's a section here that requires a 30-day advance notice. And that's come up two or three times. I think three times it's come up since I've been city attorney, and every time we had to, you know, you can't hold somebody responsible for not knowing something 30 days in advance. So every time it's come up, we had to make some adjustment and say, well, they brought it up as soon as they were aware that there was a reason that they needed to abstain. So that's a modification I think we need to make in the Code of Ethics when we get around to adopting some rules of procedure. But the thing that the mayor was just talking about is that the Code of Ethics was amended back in 2016. If you look at page 11 of this document, the page numbers on the bottom left-hand side, look at page 11, that section 10 there, was a section that governed communications between city officials, and city officials are specifically defined in this ordinance as consisting of members of the city council and members of boards and authorities of the city. So there was a provision in the Code of Ethics written back in 2013 that talked about interactions between elected officials and employees, and those of you who were here in 2016 know that we amended it. So the mystery that I got into was, why is that amendment not in here? It was passed in 2016. Well, apparently it was just never submitted to the Union Code. So if you look at section 10, it's on page 11 of this document. The real language is in effect is on the last page of that document that I gave you. The very last page is the amended language. So I think, you know, there's something we need to track down, and I've already talked to the city clerk about. I'm going to work with Jennifer. We're going to track that down and make sure that it gets recorded in Union Code correctly. But again, as we get in front of you a comprehensive set of rules and procedures, there may be some other things in the Code of Ethics that we need to address. And so this will be a good time if you have the opportunity to read it. If you see anything else in there you think you might want to consider changing, then please call me or call the mayor. Have a discussion about it and get it on the table, because I think it's a great idea that we move forward with some rules of procedure, but then we also need to make sure that we make those consistent
or are we making the rest of our code consistent with whatever those rules are gonna be?
The ethics ordinance also requires that the mayor and the members of council each appoint a member to the ethics board. There's six members of council and the mayor, which is seven, which would be a seven-member board. Right now, there's a one vacancy on the board, and that vacancy has come about because of my seat is vacant. Once your seat becomes vacant, then you lose that seat on the board. We have four expired members of the board, and we have just two that expires in 2019. So right now, we only really have two people that are current on this board. And so I have the names of the folks that's on the ethics board, but I couldn't remember who appointed who to the board. So do you remember your appointee?
I believe Debbie Mullis.
Okay, so you're Debbie.
I was Tony Smith.
You were Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Honey Williams was my appointment, which means that that's vacant now.
And then Marion and Ron were on the board then.
Okay, so we have James Sumner. He was appointed by someone. He's 2019.
He's current, right?
He's current. And then Chester Brown, I don't know who appointed Chester.
I think that was Lydia.
Lydia? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have Celeste Jones. I don't know who appointed, who she was. So we're going to have to do some reappointments to the ethics board. We have four that have expired, and the next council person that gets the vacant seat will make that appointment also.
Okay.
So Alex, your person has expired. So Mr. Smallwood, you'll need to appoint someone. And who did you have, Mr. Whitmore?
Ms. Samuels.
Okay, that's 2019.
So can she still serve?
No. So you'll have to make an appointment.
Yes, ma'am.
Does mine expire? Sure.
Yours expired in, Tony expired 2017, December 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so yours expired. Okay, so we'll be working, we'll be sending emails out to council asking you for your new appointees to the ethics board while we're working on the new language and the incorporation of the update to the ordinance.
Can they serve another term?
Yeah, I was going to say
yeah.
That right now, just in case anybody was wondering, there's nothing wrong with appointing this
person.
Okay.
Question. So remind me, is the language that says mayor and council are required to appoint an individual and their terms, is that in
mm-hmm.
this document as well?
It's in here. It's
okay.
In here.
Okay.
I read it today.
Okay.
I didn't highlight it, but it's in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was. But
yeah, it is.
Okay. And it is the goal of the next.
If you look at page 13 of 16, composition of the Board of Ethics, at the very bottom,
mm-hmm.
it starts there. That's where I started reading. Then it goes to the next page.
And is the goal to reappoint next meeting, or what's
yes.
your time frame?
Yes, okay. I would like to bring it back for the next meeting, which is the second meeting in March 26th.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions on this? Okay, thank you. Our city administrator has some financials that she want to go with us for a few minutes. So you had a packet before you, so if you would just open it up and.
So what you have before you is the beginning of our transparency of our finances for the city. And what I gave you was October and November. So if you look at October,
we start off with month-to-date, and that's what the revenues on the front page is, the revenues and the expenditure by fund. So that when you turn to the second page, which is one of two, it tells you what the city's bottom line was for the month-to-date. Prior year adjustments, or any adjustments we had to put in per the audit. Year-to-date encumbrances, if there were any POs or any encumbrances that were there. And then you have year-to-date actual. And what you'll notice in October is the month-to-date and the year-to-date would be the same. And that's the only month, because that's the first month of the fiscal year. And then you have your budget, and then your year-to-date variance, and the percent collected for revenue or the percent expended. And then when you turn the following pages, these pages actually came out of the financial system. And what you have is just the cover sheet for each fund. So it gives you the line items for each fund, how much was spent per those funds. So you have the revenue and the expenditures. The cover sheet does not, we cannot get that out of the system. We had to create that in Excel, but it's important for you to know where the city stands as far as revenue and expenditures. And so what I would like you all to do is look at it. If you have any questions, feel free to stop by, give me a call, give Randy a call, anybody in finance, and we can answer any questions. We have all the detail behind each one of the pages, but the whole packet is about 100 and something pages. So we felt that giving you a high overview look was the best.
Yes.
So this is the beginning of what you will receive. You will receive a packet every month of the financials and where the city stands. One of the questions that I had was that if you look at one of the months, it looks like we overspent, and it's mainly in the general fund, but we have money. This is just revenue and expenditures. This doesn't count what's in the bank. The last thing for the revenue and expenditures, because the property tax bills went out late, I want you all to know we're at 93% collection.
Oh.
So that's really good considering they did go out late. Are there any questions?
Yes. Historically, we used to receive a cash report.
Yes.
And I'd like to resume receiving those. And if it's appropriate that it's every 2 months or a quarter, I'm okay with that as well.
No, you'll get a cash report once a month.
Okay.
This is just the first of the reports.
Okay.
We have to build it because we do cash flow analysis.
Okay.
So we have to build that report. But because of the audit and where we were when I got here, we were able to, matter of fact, we just closed out December and almost closed January, so we're trying to get on time.
Mm-hmm.
So probably not by the end of February, but in March you'll start to see the rest of the financial report. The other thing is that you received the biweekly departmental updates. I'm still working with the staff on what really needs to be in the updates and what we need to show. So if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call and I'll get you the answers until we get the flow correctly for all of the updates. And then the last thing is that you have two books that are in front of you. The leadership team, we read both of those books and we had requests for those books. And so we wanted to share with you what we have read, and when we do our leadership team does their retreat, we're actually going to be talking about the energy bus. And we're actually going to ride a bus with the whole team together to talk about management styles and different things like that. So what we did was we decided to go ahead and purchase the books for you all so that you could see. These are two of the easier books that have been read, and now we're diving into more intense books that we have to share. And the goal is that we read books to enhance everyone's leadership's ability to run their departments. And that's all I have.
That's it. Okay. Do you have any questions for city administrator? Okay. Then let's move on to our agenda items for council tonight. Um, The first item is under human resources, and we've had a presentation this evening, so it's my suggestion that we leave 1, 2, and 3 on the agenda for vote tonight. Is that okay? Okay, so 1, 2, and 3 will go on the agenda. City clerk, consideration and action to cancel the meeting on March 12th. Madam clerk?
Yes, ma'am. We will not have a quorum for that meeting due to travel scheduled for the mayor and council.
Okay.
To the National League of Cities Conference.
Is there any objection to putting this on the consent agenda?
No.
No. Madam clerk, the next one is consideration and action on resolution 2018-02 surplus items.
Yes, ma'am. We had a surplus items from the police and fire department. This will, this resolution will allow us to, dispose of those items that are in those departments. One is a car that is, looks like it was pieced out for parts. And then, some fire hose and some emergency lights.
Okay. Since this is a resolution, city attorney, should we put it on the, regular agenda?
No, you could put that on consent.
Okay, is there any objections to putting this on the consent?
Nope.
Okay. The next item, Madam clerk, consideration and action on resolution 2018-03, call for special election.
Yes, Mayor, this is the, call for the election. We haven't received, the elections contract for Fulton County. So this will just ratify that we are going to have a election, a special election on March 22nd.
May.
May 27.
While everybody's out of town.
Is there any objection to putting this on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Okay, no objection.
May I ask a question?
Okay, sure.
Okay, go ahead and answer it then.
Are you asking about the fees?
Well, not let that level of specificity, but
okay.
You can answer that too.
No.
But I was gonna ask about, if there were any issues with the Board of Election, given the discussion, we had at the committee. And you had said that you were going to, I believe we were drafting a letter.
We did.
To them, okay. Any response to the letter?
No, the letter just went out on Friday.
Okay.
Went to the Board of Elections on Friday, and we're asking, if they reconsider, because we believe that they were trying to take us from 3 polling places back to 1 again. And so, we're going to go to the next meeting. I think it was scheduled for, March 9th, but then I've been told by Aaron Johnson, one of the board members, that the meeting is actually March 15th, but it's still showing on the website as March 9th. So we put March 9th in our letter to the Board of Election. So we should know something sometime next week. We're gonna follow up to make sure that we're there on the 9th or we're there on the 15th. Yeah, the 8th, yeah, so we're there.
And is it your belief that the issue is relative to cost of 3 precincts versus 1?
Mm-hmm. That's what Mr. Johnson said. He said the main issue was the $1,500 that one of the churches charged
okay.
to hold the election. And so, you know, if we're going to, at this point, going to have a conversation with that church and see if they would forego the $1,500 or it will be a lot of trouble right now to get another polling place because of the problems that we just had with people not getting their voting cards on time. So we're hoping that we can work something out with the church, at least for the May 22nd election, at least for the May 22nd election, and then take it from there.
Okay.
Okay? Because then we'll have another, November. There's an election in November?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we, yeah, a few months later, we have another one.
And then one next year, so we need to talk.
Yeah, so that's where we are with that.
It could be runoff elections too.
Right. So we really need to kind of keep those three polling places intact right now until we figure something out. The next agenda item is from the Utility Department. Mr. Ridgeway?
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is for Marin Council to enter to an agreement with Pace Analytical Services in the amount of $11,440. Provide water sampling and testing as required by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency under the Unregulated Contaminant Monitoring Rule Number 4. This is something we just found out about through Georgia's EPD. And it is not something that we probably are qualified to do. These samples have to be collected in a certain manner. They have to be refrigerated. Mm-hmm. That refrigerated level needs to be maintained while that sample is sent to the lab. Nine out of the 10 different contaminants that testing for have to have preservatives in the bottle, so we got to get the material from the lab to begin with. And Pace Analytical is the only lab in the Southeast certified by EPD to do this testing. Hopefully this is a one-time testing procedure. Once they get these tests, hopefully we won't have to do this again, maybe for another 5 years or so. Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Ridgeway? Any objections putting this on the consent agenda? No objection? Okay, consent agenda. That finishes up our agenda for tonight. We'll go around the table and see if council has anything they want to do before the full council tonight. We'll start with Mr. Smallwood. Okay. Mr. Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am. Last week, sorry, I wasn't there. Last week, we ended up having two meetings here in the city in reference to the Homestead and VA exemption program.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday, and then back again on Saturday morning. Saturday, we had 9 of our citizens to come in, and I believe on Thursday, we had 5. And it was a very interactive session, especially on Saturday, whereas once we got done talking about the Homestead and VA exemption process and procedure, there was questions in reference to the city of Fairburn. And both Ms. Barnes and I really enjoy interacting with our constituents, and we were able to reemphasize some of the things that this administration is doing, mayor and council is doing, with the leadership of mayor, council, and also our city administrator. And actually, one lady came back into the city today with all of her documentation to fill out so she can get her exemption and then go into Fulton County and do it as well. And she also reiterated how she enjoyed hearing the things that the city has in the pipeline to do along with the other initiatives. So I just wanted to share that with mayor and council and the city administrator. A positive response, and we have vowed to continue to do this on a biannual basis, so we'll set up another one towards the latter part of the year. And as long as people are coming in and also going out and sharing that information with their friends and neighbors that may qualify for this, we'll just continue doing it to make sure we get the right information out there and get the responses that we've received thus far.
Thank you, Ms. Whitmore. Ms. Porter-Jones?
Yes, this is for Mr. Stokes and Ms. Bazidla. On Verlin B. Smith, the mailbox that is the brick mailbox that is always knocked down, it is down again. Mm-hmm. There is something with that curve or with the lighting or something that is going on. This is now the 5th time, I believe, that mailbox is down, and it seems to have been a much harder hit this time because the mailbox was in a lot more pieces.
Wow.
Okay, so something's happening, and
we need to figure out what we can do to correct us or mitigate it or something, because somebody's going to get hurt. So I just wanted to share that. I just saw that last night, and so I wanted to share that.
Councilman Heath?
I have nothing.
Okay. Councilman Powell?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, it's 6:50. We have 10 minutes before we start the regular council meeting. This meeting is adjourned until 7.
Just a question. The other times this mailbox police report was that alcohol related, to your knowledge?
We've been playing phone games.
Well, I don't know. I'm talking to the owner. His thing is about speed and perception of where that turn is. Really?
Last October.
And you hit the mailbox too?
No, I didn't hit the mailbox.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I know the squirming.
Right.
Because deer ran across
right, really?
Me. But, he died in his yard. I know exactly what
really? But now, houses are there now. And they hadn't begun that construction yet.
You're talking about on
Burley B. Smith at Telford.
Right. Across from the parks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the entrance to the park.
Yeah, exactly. So
really?
Across the street, that house is there.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow.
So I hit a deer.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
I still got a picture. And so he died in the yard.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know if,
yeah,
know,
but if you notice the turn, if you don't know that area, you think because of the lighting or something, but you think there's a turn right there. Okay? So, anyway.
Thank you.
Is that right? Oh my God.
Thank you, sir.
I now call to order the meeting of the Fairburn City Council. Today is February 26, 2018. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Elizabeth Parkhurst.
Present.
Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
Councilwoman Patty Portis-Jones.
Present.
Councilman Pat Fallon.
Present.
Councilman Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
All are present, Mayor, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We will now have our invocation by Apostle Dr. Larice Howell of New Horizon in Faith Church Ministry International. Please stand.
Thank God, I just want to introduce my friend who's a retired Air Force pilot, stayed over to be with us tonight, and he's a commercial pilot. Y'all might see him. I'm not to tell what airline, but you'll see him. And we thank you for inviting me and all of the great pastors and leaders in this community. You've got real good smart sense inviting me, so that's supposed to be humorous. But thank you all for this opportunity to stand before you. Shall we pray? Stand over and take a picture of me so we can use that. Eternal God, our Lord, our friend, our Savior, our Redeemer, and to thy hands we commend our spirit that you will watch over the mayor, the council, the city leaders, officials, the clergy, and all as you touch their hearts in a special way, bringing them revelation of how to make sound and sober choices that will cause this community to be enhanced, from the children to the parents, the adults, the seniors, and all. We glorify you for this opportunity for such wise decisions of this leadership to acknowledge your presence before the sound of call to do business. Yes. For it is you who we lean and depend on and have all of our trust in. And you are sovereign and almighty. We touch and agree with the entire world, the sufferings of all of those in floods and hurricanes and all. How precious you are to us, dear Lord. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's holy and righteous name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I meant to say I wore my military outfit that I had to squeeze in so I could identify with those who have been in the military.
Thank you for your
Thank
service.
You. Thank you.
We have no presentations tonight. Madam Clerk, how many do we have for public comments?
We have no public comments.
No public comments tonight. Okay, we're going to adopt the agenda for the council meeting tonight. Item number one, under human resources, consideration and action to enter into an agreement with United Healthcare for health insurance for employees in the amount of $1,892,900.52. Agenda item number two, consideration and action to enter into an agreement with Emeritus for dental and vision insurance for employees in the amount of $135,068.64. Agenda item number three, consideration and action on 100% reimbursement of in-network deductible expense incurred for medical claims and 0% for out-of-network medical claims. These three items are on the regular agenda. Is there a motion for these three items to be placed on the regular agenda?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Palin and second by Mr. Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion passes. Consent agenda. Item number four, consideration and action to cancel the meeting on March 12, 2018 due to the mayor and council traveling to National League of Cities Conference. Agenda item number five, consideration in action on resolution 2018-02, surplus items. Agenda item number six, consideration in action on resolution 2018-03, call for special election. And agenda item number seven, consideration in action on an agreement with Pace Analytical Service, Inc. for water samplings and testing services in the amount of $11,400. Is there a motion to place this on the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Whitmore and second by Mr. Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. The first item on the agenda, Ms. Linda Larkin from Mid-South, would you come to the podium, please? The first item is consideration in action to enter into an agreement with United Healthcare for health insurance for employees in the amount of $1,892,900.52.
You
can.
You want me to?
Yes, just give a brief summary. We did it in a workshop.
Right. This is the United Healthcare renewal effective April 1st, and this includes keeping the benefit plan as is with a couple minor changes to co-pays for visits, and the increase is 21%. The city pays 90% of that total cost for the employees and 60% for the families.
Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Portis-Jones. Is
second.
There a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitmore. Are there any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The next item is consideration in action to enter into an agreement with Emeritus for Dental and Vision Insurance for employees in the amount of $135,068.64. Ms. Larkins.
The Emeritus Dental has no increase in right rates for this year. That figure is the total annual premium. 25% of that premium is paid for. 25% of the employee-only rate is paid for by the city. The employees pay the 75% remaining up for the employee cost, and they pay the total cost for their dependents. The benefit plans are remaining the same as they have been in the past.
Is there a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Whitmore, second by Mr. Heath. Are there any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The next item is consideration and action on 100% reimbursement of in-network deductible expense incurred for medical claims and 0% for out-of-network medical claims.
The City of Fairburn has a health reimbursement arrangement whereby the city pays for the deductible for the employee and their family at 100%, automatically adjudicated through United Healthcare. And the expected claims for 2018 plan year should be 32%, and it came in this past year at 27% of what we expected.
Are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. Do you call that number, the exact number?
The dollar amount?
Yes.
The dollar amount, what was actually paid by the city for the plan year, this last plan year, is $109,000.
Mm-hmm. And that represents 27%, you said?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Palin, second by Mr. Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Ms. Larkin.
Thank you.
I need to go back. I failed to adopt the city council minutes for February the 12th, 2018. Council has reviewed the minutes in your packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move.
Motion made by Mr. Palin, second by Mr. Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Council comments. Mr. Whitmore.
None, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Heath.
No comment.
Mr. Smallwood. Mr. Palin.
No comment.
Ms. Portis Jones.
Why did you call that? No comment.
Before we close out our meeting for tonight, and I don't have any comments, before we close out our meeting for tonight, we have a young lady that's in the audience. Her name is Lydia Vargas. Stand up, Lydia. She's a third grader, and she came tonight because she wanted to meet the mayor and to ask me some questions for her class. So after we adjourn the meeting, I'm going to sit down with Miss Lydia, and I'm going to answer some questions so she can get an A in class on her assignment. Thank you so much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Whitmore, second by Mr. Heath. We stand adjourned.
And I have known to it 20 years.
Okay, that's all picks up you didn't count.